Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. Today I want to thank an additional sponsor, Will's Transfer Limited, who is supporting today's show with their generous gift. I also want to thank you, our listeners. We're so grateful for your encouragement and support. Please remember that you can always visit our website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. And if you miss an episode of the show, you can go to our website and download the podcast or the MP3 of our broadcast. Details can be found on our website. Today I want to speak to you about the theme of Scripture, the theme of our lives, which is turning our eyes upon Jesus. In John's Gospel, Jesus speaks, and these are his words, as he addresses a group of people who are questioning whether he really has the authority to do what he is doing. And he says to them, "You sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have a testimony weightier than that of John, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the Scriptures, because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." This is the word of God from John chapter 5. You see, the Scriptures testify from beginning to end about Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the goal of our faith and the beginning of our faith, our hope and our life. And yet Jesus is able to speak of people who study the Scriptures and miss out on its central message. How can that happen? And perhaps even more importantly, how can we ensure that these words do not apply to us? As we begin to look at that question, we're going to listen to a song, and it's a song written by Steve Bell. And in this song, he praises and thanks Jesus through the words of a psalm from the Old Testament and speaks about how Jesus has fulfilled that scripture in his life. This is the song "Jesus, My Glory" by Steve Bell from his album Waiting for Aiden.
Oh, always at my side. My safety he supplies, whatever my affliction. Defended by his hand, I shall undaunted stand, while thousands will surround me. Though furious foemen wage their war with mighty wage, yet none can e'er defeat me. But Lord, you always are a shield above my heart, a warrior fierce and free, surrounding me.
When Jesus was speaking to these people who were opposing him, he was rebuking and correcting them because they had studied the scriptures but failed to see him in it. They had failed to see that the scriptures spoke about Jesus, and they had failed to see that the works Jesus was doing testified that God the Father was working through him. It's not surprising to find that people who don't accept Jesus have trouble understanding the testimony about him. They haven't understood the meaning of the scriptures. They haven't kind of clicked with the idea that Jesus is the fulfillment of all these scriptures. That's the reason they haven't accepted him. Now, sometimes they read the scriptures and they're blocked from seeing because of attitudes and presuppositions in their life. They are taught how to understand scriptures by another source, some kind of doctrine or some kind of preconception that prevents them from seeing Jesus in the pages of scripture. Sometimes it's not somebody else's teachings, but their own stubbornness. Let's face it, sometimes we don't want to know the truth. Sometimes we close our eyes to even the most obvious things because we don't like the way that it would affect our lives. Sometimes out of fear, people read the scriptures and they either find things in scriptures that cause them to fear, and so they turn away from it. Or they have their own fears about what Jesus might do in their lives, what changes might have to happen in their lives, and they don't want to understand it. They don't want to get it. They want to have some reason for rejecting it. It's not surprising that Jesus has these words to say to his opponents, to people who are refusing to accept him. And yet, we find that it's not only Jesus' opponents who need this kind of rebuke or need this kind of correction. Now, obviously, when someone's working with Jesus, when someone has decided to follow Jesus and trust in him, correction can come in a much gentler form. But sometimes it comes in quite a harsh form. You remember there was a time when the disciples were following Jesus and they were debating about which of them was the greatest of his disciples. And Jesus was astonished that they hadn't understood what he was teaching. And he stopped them and he rebuked them and he said, the greatest among you, those who want to be great among you, must become the servant of all. Now, they had seen Jesus helping the poor and the sick and delivering the oppressed. They had seen him showing love to the outcast. They had seen him serving humanity with every breath that he took. And yet they hadn't gotten it. They hadn't understood that this was an example for them. They were concerned about their greatness and their power and who was best and trying to get first place. And Jesus was showing them that they needed to take second place. In the Last Supper, when Jesus washes the disciples' feet, he drives that lesson home, saying, "If I, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, then you ought to wash one another's feet." Is it possible that the disciples could watch Jesus for several years and listen to his words and see his works and still not understand that he was calling them to be servants like him, not to be greater than their master, but to be like their master? Yes, it's possible for disciples to need correction and rebuke, to read the scriptures, to see even the living scripture, the word of God, Jesus Christ, and still miss some of the points. But if the disciples missed some of those points, and they were able to be corrected by Jesus, who noticed their error and brought it to their attention, what about us, his church? How can we know and love him more? How can we avoid the pitfalls of letting pride or stubbornness or attitudes that come from our culture or our background to keep us from understanding what Jesus desires of us? How can we, who aren't in the presence of Jesus in the same way the disciples were, how can we be sure that we're hearing his word and understanding it correctly? How do we receive rebuke and correction? How do we learn and grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ? I think we've got quite a challenge there, and we can see that challenge often when we look at other Christians. It's a human fault, perhaps, to be judgmental, to look at others and see their faults more easily than we see our own. It's not only Christians that do that. It seems like everybody's able to do that pretty readily. But we are often able to learn something in a kind of backhanded way when we look at other Christians. If we can see that other Christians are making a mistake in their understanding of the scriptures, then that ought to humble us and help us to understand that maybe we need to be careful, more careful, to understand the scriptures fully ourselves. Maybe we need to have discussions with those who are disagreeing with us, and even though we might not change this position or that position, we can certainly learn from their perspective where our understanding might be lacking. That's what the church, or part of what the church is for. We get together in church, and the proverb says that as iron sharpens iron, so do we sharpen one another when we learn from one another. Sometimes when we rub against each other and sparks fly, but still, if we persist in love and grace, we can learn from each other. We need to go forward with learning about Jesus, and we need to see him clearly in scriptures. And to do that, we probably need to take a look at how we engage with the scriptures ourselves. Before we go on to that, let's listen to a song which does declare a beautiful vision of Jesus that sees clearly the glory of the Creator as far surpassing that of his creation. This hymn is called Fairest Lord Jesus, and this version is sung by GLAAD in their album Acapella Hymns. there's an awful lot that we can do to grow in our understanding of Jesus Christ. But the key for us has clearly been the Scriptures. Throughout the life of the Church, it's through the testimony about Jesus in Scriptures that we learn about Jesus. And I want to focus on just a couple of aspects of reading the Scriptures. Obviously, the study of Scriptures is a great big topic, but I want to suggest that one thing might be very helpful to all of us, and that's reading the Scriptures as a book or as a collection of books. You know, we have devotional readings, and I love reading devotional readings, which take a single Scripture and expound upon it, expand upon it, and illustrate it. And that's so helpful as a way to get a little teaspoonful of Scripture into our lives. And it can be so edifying and upbuilding to read single portions of Scriptures. And very often when I get in a small group and we do Bible study, we might pore over a paragraph or a verse or a chapter of Scripture, and we'll spend a great deal of time examining the smaller bits of Scripture. But you know, God presents the Scripture as a story for us, and as a number of stories. It's the story of salvation from beginning to end, and it's a collection of stories of different people's lives. And very often the Scriptures that we read are taken out of context of that story and just looked at in isolation. Much that is learned that way. But I want to suggest that in our Bible study, in our reading of the Scriptures, we really would benefit if we read the Scriptures as books. If you got a novel, took it out from the library or bought it online, you probably wouldn't read the novel by turning randomly to one page and reading a single sentence and thinking about that sentence, then turning to another page and thinking about a sentence on that page and flipping through the book that way. That's not how you would read a story, is it? Now, if you were reading a collection, an anthology, which a collection of short stories, then sure enough, you might flip through the book and find a story that looks interesting to you and read the whole story. But again, it's unlikely that you'd find the story that interested you and spend hours on the first verse. Now, when we're in English class in high school or university, there's a time for that sort of thing. And sometimes when we've really enjoyed a story, we go back to one key sentence that sums it all up for us. And sometimes we go back, if we've been reading a mystery novel, you might go back and search for clues that you missed the first time reading it. And all these are analogies of how we read Scripture. But first, we read the story. And I want to very strongly suggest that if we want to be sure that we see the testimony of Jesus in Scripture, that we read the story, that we take a look at how this story is told in each of the elements. I, of course, want to recommend the Gospels as a great starting place. Have you ever sat down and just read through John's Gospel in a day? It's a marvelous experience. Have you read through Mark's Gospel from beginning to end? I was fortunate early in my Christian life to be to have a part in a play at church, and that play, Godspell, required that we memorize a huge portion of Jesus' teachings from the Gospel of Matthew. And in many ways, the story of Godspell goes from beginning to end in Matthew, telling both the works and the words of Jesus. And that's had a great impact on my understanding of who Jesus is, just to know the Word in its entirety. So consider making a practice of reading entire Gospels, maybe not in one day, maybe over the period of 2 or 3 days, but instead of reading a chapter here and a chapter there, try reading through it like you would a good story, because this is the best story ever. The other thing is that many other books of Scripture are very much like that. I enjoy studying deeply the book of Ephesians, but nothing strikes you as powerfully as reading the whole thing from end to end, and that's only about 6 chapters. It's a very manageable read. When I was doing a seminary down at Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky, Robert Traina was the one of the Bible study teachers, and he strongly recommended that before we began any study of a portion of Scripture, that we read that the whole book that Scripture belongs to, that we start out by reading the entirety and understanding how the story breaks into sections and then look at the sections and look at them more deeply. But getting that overview is so important. Right now in our congregation, we're going through an overview of the whole Bible. Over 31 weeks, we will be going from Genesis through Revelation and understanding how all the different parts of the Old Testament fit in with the testimony of Jesus in the New Testament. It's a wonderful journey we're on. And I hope that you can continue on that journey as you read the Bible more and more. I've already spoken a bit about the limitations of devotional readings, but I want to emphasize the importance of increasing our daily intake of Scripture. Scripture is the bread of our souls, isn't it? And there are times in life when you need more food on your plate. In harvest time, a farmer and his family have to do a lot of extra physical work and they need a lot of extra nutrition. Well, today is a day when we need more spiritual nutrition in our lives. We are being inundated by news and by television and by internet, by all kinds of influences on us that have an attitude very different than that of Jesus. Our political discourse and our attitudes towards our world around us are often formed by these other sources instead of by Jesus. We're in an information age, and we need a lot more of formation by Scripture in order to accommodate this information. So I want to encourage you to continue on in a deep and rich study of Scriptures so that you might know Jesus more. Well, this brings us to the end of our message today, and I want to take a moment of prayer with you, if you don't mind. Almighty Father, help us to know your Son. You have told us so much about him through Scripture. Help us to know him well, for you sent him not only to save us from our sins, but also to show us how to live. So lead us closer to him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And once again, I want to thank our listeners for your encouragement and support. I also again want to thank Wills Transfer Limited, who has generously supported this program today. And I do want to thank you. I do want to thank them. They're helping us keep us on the air. I want to encourage you to support our ministry as well, because we have only one big cost. All of us are volunteers here, and getting this on the radio is our one vital expense. If you can make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0, we will be happy to send you a receipt at income tax time. And I also want to encourage you to tell others about this program. Be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now, to conclude our program, I would like to have you listen to a song called Where Do You Belong? Turn Your Eyes, sung by the Newsboys from their 1992 album, Not Ashamed. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. May the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
senseless till I'm the one who understands. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.